Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
What?
Hold on for a sec.
The show's going.
They're cool with it.
They're cool with it. You guys are cool with it, huh? All right. I believe you.
Let me check. not another bite?
All right. If you need it. I don't know. Maybe you need carb load there? Can I get power through the show?
Episode 180 of The Scope. My mouth is full of Kashi Dark Almond Chocolate. Hold on. Let me get a drink here.
Yeah? Shane, what are we drinking today? Looks like some sort of store brand water.
Store brand market pantry.
Is this one that you cracked fresh here, or did you refill this up from the tap at home?
This is fresh.
Okay.
But we do have great tap water here in our home city.
We do enjoy it.
Jared is here. Shane is here. That is me. Adam, once again.
Missing.
Nowhere to be found.
Has there been any word on his whereabouts?
I don't know where his whereabouts are.
What about his whatabouts? So whatchamacallit?
When Adam disappears, it's usually for 3 weeks.
It's like deep cover.
3 weeks of the show. He's not here.
He's not.
It's not like one and then
media,
he comes back.
Nothing.
He's just off the record.
It's amazing.
It's very scary.
Surely we can speculate on his whereabouts. Where do you think he is?
Well, I think I said last time he was in line at Transformers.
Yeah.
So he might still be in line to see it.
Maybe.
I mean, it's such a big film.
It made a lot of money.
It
shouldn't
did.
Have, but what are you going to do?
I think he's off doing some sort of weird cooking podcast or some
really?
Sort. Yeah.
I feel like he's on like a team building retreat. He's doing trust falls and, you know.
Rope bridges.
Yeah.
Swings. You know, what do they call those? Zip lines. He's
really,
on the zip line.
Really bonding with his team. He's neglecting this team.
Yeah, this is a very important
but
team.
But he's bonding with another team.
Hold on.
Boy, you need to. Didn't have breakfast this morning?
You got to chew everything good.
Yeah. 20 times at least, right?
Fine paste.
Yep. You don't want your stomach to work too hard.
So, Adam, writing this down. Team building for Adam.
Yeah. Shane eats Kashi live on the air.
Team building, Kashi. I mean, you have to have a record of this stuff. Kashi on the air.
Well, this goes in the archives.
It's very important.
Yes.
We don't care where Adam's at because we're doing the show without him. And I think we've got a good show that if Adam were here, he would contribute to in a positive way.
Probably.
But he's not, so it's Jared and me. We're looking back and looking forward. The beginning of summer and towards the end of summer for summer TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. TV used to be so terrible in the summer, Jared. When we first started doing The Scope.
A lot of reruns.
It was garbage. It was
Battles of the Network Star.
It was your chance. Just one star.
Yeah.
And it was just like Maya Bleeblick from Blossom.
Bleeblick.
She was just all by herself.
is that a name?
I think that's her.
Okay.
Or maybe Joey Lawrence. So someone from Blossom would just compete against himself.
Yeah.
But now, in the 2000s and teens.
Yep. We've got reality shows. We've got miniseries. We've got returning series. We've got brand new shows. We've got TV movies of the week.
We've got it all.
Yeah.
And we can't watch them on Aereo.
No, we can't.
But we can talk about them.
We sure can.
On The Scope, and we will do that. We're also going to do Coming Soon. We're also going to try to make this show as snappy and as fun. Oh, hold on. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know. It's good, though.
Delicious.
I'm glad. I'm happy that you're eating, because I know there was a time where you couldn't.
I'm fading away. So let me take a quick break.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more episode 180 and your Scope TV preview, summertime edition, right after this.
This is The Fump.
There's an app for that. Download them for $1 in nothing flat. Whatever you need, you know it's guaranteed. There's an app for that. There's an app for that.
Joker, Black Mask, and the Penguin. Batman Arkham Origins. Oh, hey, look, prequel time again. It's not exactly Batman Begins. Joker, Black Mask, and the Penguin. Batman Arkham Origins.
What to see, do you suppose?
Hell, babe's taking off their clothes.
I want to see some of those.
Let's watch ladies decompose.
They're swinging music playing. They're stripping and decaying. If you know what I'm saying, it seems burlesque.
That's The Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com.
Summer's here, and the time is right for the highly anticipated but never duplicated Scope Summer Preview. We'll fill you in on all the must-sees and must-avoids of this very important season. The Scope Summer Preview.
Hey everybody, we are back. Scope episode 180. It's our summer TV preview slash review, because we're going to review a couple of borderline summer shows. As we said earlier, summer has transformed what it means to the television networks, from garbage to stuff you almost have to check out, sometimes even better than what you would find in the fall and winter.
I have a full slate.
You really do.
I used to feel like I could take a break from TV, but now I feel like I still there's more than ever to watch.
Yeah, it's much more difficult. So Jared and I are going to carve this up. We're going to make sense of it, and we're going to tell you what you need to pay attention to and what you should ignore. Jared, let's start off by talking about two shows that ended.
Yes.
They ended their respective seasons, but they sort of kicked off summer. I want to talk about Game of Thrones, and I want to talk about Fargo, because both of those shows went deeper into summer than, you know, a lot of shows.
I might add a third, but we'll see how these first two go.
And I guess maybe you get Orange is the New Black as well. Would you put that in there as well? Is that your third?
No.
Okay, well.
But I could add that to the list.
Interesting. So let's talk about Game of Thrones. This is the fourth season. Ended with how did it even end, Jared? I don't even remember.
Spoiler, Shane.
Spoilers. Spoiler alerts on. We're going to be talking spoilers for anything that's already ended.
How did it end? I mean, the big event was Tyrion breaking out of prison and killing Tywin.
Right on the shitter.
Heading out on for parts unknown.
Yep.
Unless you've read the book, you know where he's headed. But that was the big event. There was Stannis and his hired army showing up north of the wall to take out the wildlings.
Yep.
Let's see, what's going on with Daenerys? Not a lot. Those are the two major big ones. Yeah.
And you've got what's her face, the little Stark.
Yes.
Arya.
Yep.
Going off to
Braavos. She's on a ship. She's leaving Westeros.
I'm assuming to become a trained assassin.
You might be on the right track with that one.
Seems like that might be her path. Let's talk about the season overall, Jared. Was it a success?
I think it was fantastic. It's a season that if you're someone who comes to it with book knowledge, there were still plenty of surprises, because at this point they've condensed storylines, they've changed storylines, people who don't meet do meet in the TV show, and they've added stuff that hasn't even been in the books yet. So
I've heard the Hound battle was not at all how it really played out.
No, those two characters never met in the books. But hey, it was fun. It was fun to see those two fight.
So, it was a great fight.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm okay. I don't need a point by point adaptation. It's an adaptation. I don't need a point by point recreation of the books on screen.
Yep.
I'm happy with the TV show to take its own liberties and be its own thing.
They tried to do that with the Harry Potter films, at least the first couple of them, where it was
trying to be too faithful,
and it ended up being a bit of a snooze fest.
Yeah.
And then they kind of diverged and let them all have their own style and process.
Yep.
And it got better.
Reading books and watching movies or TV shows is a very different thing.
Yep.
It's very active versus passive. So, you know, you've got to cater the content to the medium.
Absolutely. So Game of Thrones, a success. We look forward to more episodes next April, perhaps.
Yeah, there's been some criticism that it was way front loaded. And then there was some good stuff at the end, but there were some snoozer moments in the middle. I don't see it.
I don't get it at all.
I like living in that world. I like visiting it once a week and seeing what all the characters are up to. So
you need to let shows follow their own rhythm. They need to be able to breathe and expand and contract on their own. Go for the story. Enjoy the pacing of it. Enjoy what they're delivering to you, because they do a really good job of it.
Hell yes.
Speaking of pacing, let's talk about a show that marched to the beat of its own drummer. I'm talking about the FX miniseries Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
I powered through the last three episodes last night.
Good job.
And boy, talk about an excellent show. Let's go back to the beginning, though. The whole concept for this one could have been a disaster.
I was suspect. I'm like, really? They're going to do a TV show based off the movie? But then you start seeing the cast. You start seeing Billy Bob Thornton. You see Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. I love him.
Martin Freeman. Tom Hanks's kid, Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks. Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk. Adam
Levine.
Goldberg.
Adam Goldberg.
Just a bunch of great people that I've enjoyed in other things. And I'm like, okay, I'm giving this a shot. And immediately from like the first two episodes, I felt like, okay, they've got, it's definitely inspired by the movie, but it's not a copy. It's a different story.
Yep. And it's connected to the movie, or at least they
does.
Imply there that is, it ties directly into the movie.
There is a connection to it. I don't know. It just felt like it got the tone right. And it was just, I enjoyed how every episode was like a little mini movie.
Yeah. The way it was filmed and the way it was delivered to you, this was a show that was allowed to breathe and allowed to take its time when it needed. And it, in doing so, it felt bigger and better than what a TV show normally is.
Mm-hmm.
Jared and I had a long conversation about this. I said my only rub on this is that Fargo, the movie, really was very, very specific in terms of how it presented what Minnesota was. And obviously, we're from Minnesota, so we kind of... We get that extra bit of narrative. We get that extra bit of layer that the Coen brothers were trying to do. And in doing so, they did a really faithful representation of what Minnesota is overall. I think you could recognize it. Everything was spot on. This show...
And it was shot in Minnesota.
Yes, and it was shot in Minnesota. This show, however, was not shot in Minnesota. It was shot in Canada. And it was not done by the Coen brothers, although they were executive producers. And I'm sure that they had guiding hands in there, probably more than what they would admit to. So you didn't quite have that accuracy. And when the show first started, I was really concerned, like, are they doing a parody of what the movie was, which, you know, walks that fine line, especially with the accents and, you know, how we talk here and how we behave and where is the show going to fall? And I think that they did a good job of striking the right balance and working within the limitations of it not being shot Minnesota and being so faithful to all the landmarks and all that stuff. You could sort of overlook that. And for the average viewer of this show, it's not going to matter.
They don't know.
It's just going to be, you know, Fargo, the TV show, and, you know, it'll be good or bad based on what the story tells you. But, I mean, you have some breakout moments in here. You've got a ridiculously fantastic performance of Billy Bob Thornton as, what's the name of the bad guy?
Lorne Malvo.
Lorne Malvo. Who is this guy who just is a trained killer assassin who gets everything right in terms of avoiding problems and making things fall for him until the end. You've got Colin Hanks as this sort of down on his luck, terrible cop who...
he lets him go in a kind of a stare down moment early in the season where...
Which he probably should have let him go because he would have been dead if he wouldn't have.
Yeah. That's the thing is Lorne Malvo was a guy who was like, look, I'm capable of evil things, but I'm going to give people a choice.
Yes.
And there was a couple moments...
Well, not always. He didn't always.
Well, no, but there's a couple moments in the series where characters have a choice. And, you know, depending on what they choose, things go one way or another. So, yeah, in that moment, he could have chosen to not let him go, and he probably would have been dead. There's a moment later on where he asks, you know, Martin Freeman's character, is this what you want? And Martin Freeman, who is just at this point, feels like he can get away with anything. Yep. He's like, this is what I want.
He killed his wife, set up his brother for the crime.
Yep.
And he was living probably the life that he would want to live.
Yep.
And he pushed it too far.
He did.
And then it went down. I think the other person, to me, the breakout star of this by far, it was Alison Tolman, played Molly Sulverson.
Yep.
She was pretty much the Marge Gunderson character, I guess.
She's the one who puts it together and realizes that who the real killer is and who's all involved, and people don't believe her, or they're just like, I don't know, for whatever reason, like, I don't know if it's because she's a woman or if they just kind of are in a sleepy small town and they just kind of want, you know, whatever the surface value is on this. What appears to be true must be true, rather than digging a little deeper.
These bad things, because there's a bunch of murders and stuff like that, these bad things don't happen with giant conspiracies. They just, you know, it was syndicated crime or what, you know.
They just kind of want it to be done over with so they can go back to their idyllic little lives.
Yeah. But she wouldn't let it go, and like a pit bull throughout the entire series, she sticks to it. The show had a lot of interesting moments, Jared. They have the time shift towards the end where they leap
jump
forward
ahead
a year.
Yep.
You've got this main bad guy who has his own code of ethics, which, you know, sometimes he'll let people live, sometimes he'll kill. It just, you have
and he has his own little side story with the Oliver Platt, another guy we forgot to mention, the supermarket king of Duluth, which isn't necessarily even related to the main story.
Not really. Yeah, it sort of keeps him in town. It has some reason for being there, but it sort of plays out and does its own thing. You've got the two FBI guys,
Key and Peele,
who don't fare so well at the end of the day, but you sort of saw that one coming. It's just a really terrific show. I suggest you watch it, you digest it, you let it flow over you.
Yeah.
Because it really is terrific television.
And it's a nice little 10-episode arc, and you're done with it at that point. You don't need to worry about next season, because if they do another season, it'll be a whole nother story.
It will be completely different, and I look forward to seeing what they do. It's kind of like that True Detectives mold.
Yep.
So we'll have to see how that goes.
Or American Horror Story. It's sort of the new thing. You do an anthology. I don't even know if they've said they're going to do another Fargo.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah, maybe you just leave it be, and maybe you pick a different Coen Brothers movie, you know? Soggy Bottom Boys, the TV show.
Let's see, Barton Fink, the series.
Love it.
Yeah.
So what's your third show, Jared?
I had Orphan Black.
Hold on.
Yeah.
go ahead.
All right. So I had Orphan Black, which just ended its second season with sort of a game-changing reveal.
I haven't seen it.
I can't talk about it in detail because you haven't seen it, but I was entranced by season one. I consumed it over just a few days after not having watched it when it broadcast. I caught up on it online. And so season two, but I watched as it aired, and it was really good.
Yeah.
It had a lot of... I'm just amazed at Tatiana Maslany. There's three core characters that she plays throughout the show. But they've added... Actually, there's probably four now, if you consider this season. But they've also added more on top of it. And she's playing all these variations of herself because there's clones. I mean, I'm not giving anything away with that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone just feels unique. You forget that it's the same person playing them. It's utterly... I mean, hair and makeup can go a long way. And costume can go a long way.
But
she brings a different accent, a different way of speaking, completely different personalities, different tics. It's just, although there's one misstep this season that I think most people would agree is a bit of a misstep. But other than that, just flawless performance from her and just a great overall storyline this season with the differing factions and who has power and what their goals are and then how they change up things at the end and set things up for the next season is tremendous. Tremendous work.
Excellent.
The show, it's the best show that nobody's watching. So...
Well, now that we've talked about it, everyone will be watching it.
Critics' Choice Awards. She's won Critics' Choice Award 2 years in a row now. So
that's telling.
Maybe
something.
Emmys will finally take notice and honor her properly.
Jared, let's talk about shows that we're going to be digesting this summer. Shows we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start off the list. This is one that I've been looking forward to for months. As soon as I heard that HBO was doing this show, I went out and read the book that it was based on. I'm talking about The Leftovers.
Okay.
It is. A story about modern-day America or the world in which 2% or 5% of the population just disappears. And the people that are left have to figure out what to do. The show's called The Leftovers.
Sure. So they've probably lost family members,
some people
friends.
Have. Yep. There's a good chance there's an impact in your life.
Yeah.
Now, the book... Not at all interested in telling why they disappeared. You understand very early on that that's not going to be a question that's going to be answered. And you read the book hoping that they might give you tips or insight, and you never get it. It's more about the...
Like
the,
life. Sometimes things just happen, you never know why.
It's absolutely more about the fallout, about the spiritual connotations, about the emotional issues that people go through when you lose someone suddenly without answers.
Okay.
And the book has issues of like cults and... how people bond together to try to understand this, to try to bring meaning to it. And from what I understand, the show, which premiered last week, we haven't got to it yet, but we will, follows a lot of those same themes and might even be darker. That's the one thing I've read about The Leftovers. It's extremely dark, but also genius. So
great.
I'm very, very excited. It's
Damon Lindelof.
Damon Lindelof from Lost.
Yep.
Interesting that he would take on another world mystery, but
sure.
He heard about the book, read it, and then found out when HBO was going to do it, got involved early on. I can't remember the writer of the book, but I know that he's also fairly heavily involved in the show as well. It stars Jennifer Aniston's fiance, can't remember his name.
Justin Theroux.
There you go, Justin Theroux. Check it out. It's HBO, it's pay, but sometimes you got to pay for quality. What else are you looking at this summer?
Well, that one's on my list. I've given Tyrant from FXA a try.
Not on my list.
The pilot was okay, but it's a story of a guy who it takes place in a fictional Middle East country where there's a dictator, benevolent dictator. He's not, well, it's ambiguous whether he's good or bad.
Yep.
But his son has sort of left the country and has been living in America for the last 20 years. So he goes back for a cousin's wedding for the first time, and he's really, really anxious about it. Takes his whole family with. And there's a series of events that happens where the father dies and the oldest son is in a car accident and almost dies. And while this is happening, the youngest son, our lead character, tries to get out of the country because he doesn't want anything to do with this. But they stop the plane. And so now he's stuck in the country, obviously having to deal with what is probably going to be a huge uprising in the country because now the guy who was keeping it in check is gone. And I don't know. We'll see.
But it sounds like a interesting story.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot to handle.
Yeah.
Especially
unfortunately,
on
the pilot deals a little bit. It's a little bit kind of cliched in how some of the characters are portrayed and some of the situations. I'm hoping they kind of find their own unique style and unique voice as they go along. So I'm going to give it a few more episodes and we'll see how it goes.
I've also got Big Brother on my list. I watch that every year. Everyone's allowed some poor judgment. That's mine.
Shay, if you like it, you like it.
Big Brother in HD, finally.
Finally.
For years, it was not. So you have all these HD shows and then this piece of crap-looking show.
Look,
so that's
if
good.
The Scope can afford HD cameras, yep. Big Brother can do the same.
Jared and I are also giving Fallen Skies or Falling Skies.
Yes. Have you watched the pilot
yet? I have not watched. I'll probably watch it this weekend.
I'm intrigued with how they've set things up. Whether or not... I'm always intrigued, though, at the start of every Falling Skies season of how they set up the structure for the season. Invariably, though, you end up with those clunker episodes that don't quite make sense, but then there's episodes that are a lot of fun, so we'll see.
Jared and I both were sort of borderline on this show last year by the time it ended.
They had
less good episodes than bad, way too much of a focus on pretty young teens or early 20s characters, which I don't get it. And I think sometimes the lack of a budget hurts this show, especially when they're trying to tell really big stories.
True.
And the acting isn't always great. I mean, Noah Wiley's good, but there's a lot of people around him that aren't as good.
Well, a lot of them are still around, so
great.
What are you going
to
do?
What are you going to do? And the other show that I'm thinking about checking out this summer is Welcome to Sweden. That is the Amy Poehler joint. It's about a guy who moves to Sweden, doesn't know anybody there. I don't know the full story on it, but I think it's based on a show done in Sweden, and they're redoing it here. So I'm...
When is that on?
It's an NBC show. I think it starts... early July.
Okay.
So we'll give that one a go. What about you? Anything else on your list?
I have, let's see, what have we covered here? I'm curious about a sitcom on FX called Married.
Okay.
This has Judy Greer and Nat Faxon, which you saw on Ben and Kate,
which
the canceled
critically
Fox sitcom.
Underrated show there.
Yep. And the commercials look like a lot of fun. I like funny people doing funny things, and I like both of those guys. And I'm including Judy Greer in the guys. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I like both of those people, and I think it looks like a lot of fun, so I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, that's on my shows that interest me, but I may not get to list.
Yep. Another one that that looks interesting is Outlander.
Tell me about that.
This is based on the book Outlander, where there's like a nurse travels back in time to Scotland, and she's an Outlander. And that's really all I know about it.
Like, she travels back in time to what time? From
like
what time?
From like the early 1900s to like 17 something.
Oh boy!
So back a couple hundred years.
That sounds like an interesting show.
Yeah. The reason I'm sort of interested in it is it's Ronald D. Moore is the showrunner, and he's the guy who did the reboot Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
So hey, maybe it could be good. It could be bad. Battlestar Galactica had its ups and downs. That ending is somewhat suspect, but. I think there's more good than bad there, so I'm willing to give him a shot.
What about The Strain?
Strain I have later on in my list.
Okay. So let's talk about shows that we're dropping this summer. Are there any shows that you've watched previous summers that are back that you are not going to give the time of day?
I just have one.
Me too.
And that is Under the Dome.
Yeah, same.
I
dropped it last year, mid-season.
I made it all the way through. And I kept hoping for it to get better. And yes, they did start revealing some of the mystery towards the end there. But
give me one mystery that they reveal.
Well, there was the whole monarch. So there, I don't know how far you saw. There was inside the egg. There was like a cocoon or something, and then like hatched into a butterfly.
I didn't even know there were eggs.
I guess it was an orb. I don't remember even.
They found some sort of orb.
Yeah. Anyway, there was. They were talking about the monarch and who's the monarch, and like they revealed who the monarch was.
Was it a person?
Yeah. It was. That's the redhead chick.
Oh, okay.
She ended up being the monarch. What that has, I don't know. What that means for the show, I don't know. And I'm not going to find out because I just lost interest in the series. They didn't do a good job making the characters interesting enough for me to care about them. Yep. So.
And the acting, once again, not great.
No.
And sometimes just, the budget felt a little cheap.
And some of the writing was bad.
Yeah.
So
clunky.
That's the only one that I'm dropping.
What about shows that are of interest to you, but you probably will not get around to watching? Got anything on that list?
That's where I landed with The Strain.
Yeah, I sort of put that in there too.
I'm sort of, I mean, it's Guillermo
del Toro.
Words are hard.
Yep.
Guillermo del Toro. Producing, I don't know, writing, he's not directing, but
they throw his name all over the advertising.
And it's sort of vampiric. They're sort of like
vampires is, you know, vampirism is taking over.
Yeah, but it's sort of not actual vampires. It's like different creatures. I've seen pictures and it's not
okay.
Not your traditional take on vampires.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just sort of like, I don't know if I like this or not.
Yeah.
It's sort of interesting, but I don't know if I have the time or enough interest to care.
Sure. We've got on my list, I have Married. I don't know if I have time, but it's something that I may check out. I also have the Halle Burr.
I also have that.
Extant.
Yeah.
Tell me about that show, Jared.
Well, it's Steven Spielberg produced.
Okay. Well, it's got to be good.
I think it's on NBC or just no,
like
CBS.
Just like he was executive producer of Transformers, the movies. Really.
Right. Halle Berry plays an astronaut who comes back mysteriously pregnant.
Yes.
I think that's the central storyline. So it's sort of interesting, but I'm not a huge Halle Berry fan. So
I agree.
Don't know. I don't know. It's one where maybe I'll check out some reviews and decide.
Yep.
After that point.
Yeah, you and I have the same list. This will be interesting, though. What about shows that are hitting the summer that we will never watch ever in the history of television? I've got a bunch of them. Most of them tend to be on either Nickelodeon, ABC Family, or Disney Channel.
Yeah.
I've got Chasing Life, which is an ABC Family show about a woman who finds out she has cancer. It sounds great, and she's trying to live her life while sort of hiding the secret.
Happy times. Seems
extremely depressing.
Yeah.
I've got Girl Meets World,
which is
the Boy Meets World spinoff or redo. I don't even know what you would call it.
It's a continuation.
A continuation.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I think I'm speaking for you when I say this. We are older. We're too old to be washed into the Boy Meets World nostalgia zone. I mean, we're closer to Full House, for instance.
There's been a lot of press about this show, and Entertainment Weekly seems very excited about it.
Those people that are 10 years younger than us are running the magazines.
And they were big fans of Boy Meets World. Yep. So Girl Meets World, hey, good for them. Yep. It's not for me.
Audrey may watch it, my child, but even that may sort of not interest her. We've got Reckless. I have that on my list. I don't even remember what it's about, but I looked it up. Didn't like it.
Is it a new show?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
I've got Mystery Girls, which teams Jenny Garth from 90210 and what's her face? The other one.
Tori Spelling.
Yep. As it's like a sitcom, a multi-camera sitcom show that they are solving mysteries.
Mm.
And Tori Spelling looks like somebody smashed her face with a baseball bat and then pulled it.
Oh, no.
To tighten it out ear to ear. She looks very bizarre.
Not good.
And she's never been a good actress. So there you go.
No.
And the last one I have is Partners, which is another sitcom. And it partners, I cannot even remember, two famous people together that looks terrible. So. Mm. Jared, what about you?
I just have one more. It's not a new show, but it's a show that is ending its run, and it's currently on the air. It just premiered 2 weeks ago, and that is True Blood on HBO. I've never had any interest in True Blood, and now that I have HBO, I still don't have any interest, even though I have access to all of it. So
don't care. Yeah, I don't.
Sorry, True Blood.
It's not my thing either. By the way, to swing back to Partners, it stars Kelsey Grammer and Martin Lawrence as two Chicago lawyers from vastly different backgrounds who unexpectedly meet in court as they face a personal crisis.
As Kelsey Grammer, has he formed a secret alliance with a Transformer to take down other Transformers?
Even though he hates all Transformers?
Yeah. He wants a golden parachute chain.
Oh, my God. So there you go, guys. That's our TV summer preview.
Summer wrap TV. Up.
There's a lot of stuff going on. We'll try to keep you guys informed as best we can. We probably won't, let's be honest.
Well, you've heard everything we have to say on the subject. Now you can just sit back and watch the programs that we've anointed for you.
Of course. That's how we do it here at The Scope. So there you go, Jared. Let's wrap this thing up, and we'll be back with Coming Soon.
Three geeks on the internet, WSCP.
Under the Scope. Hey, everybody, Adam is gone. So that means it's up to Jared for Coming Soon.
Which episode are we on? 180?
180.
180.
Usually you're the one that knows this stuff, Jared.
Well, we went out of sequence this time, so I'm just making sure. All right. You ready?
Don't pull back the curtain. Yes, ready. I'm ready.
Brand new music coming out July 8th. Judas Priest. Brand new album, Redeemer of Souls.
They're back for redemption, Jared.
I don't mind Judas Priest.
Yeah.
They've had some hits that I enjoy. I've even made parodies of them. But most of the time when heavy metal bands come back after a long hiatus, it's not good. It's sort of trying to recapture that youth, and it just never works.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Isn't it okay for people that and bands and artists that like to produce music, can't they just produce music without the...
Without us commenting on it?
No, I just mean it's all right. I mean, we know that they probably won't reclaim those glory days.
Yeah, sure. But I'm sure there's fans who will buy it, and that's enough. All right, you're right.
Thank you. Next.
LaRue.
Yeah, she's back.
Trouble in Paradise.
She had a hit song a few years ago, sort of pigtailing.
Piggybacking
on the Lady Gaga.
We have another bite of that, Kasha.
It's gone, Jared.
Oh, dang it.
I'm having a sugar crash here. But LaRue is popular amongst people in many dance circles, electronic dance music type stuff.
So. Sure, why not? And if you've listened to the Howard Stern lately, you've probably heard a lot from this artist.
Yep.
She has an album out. It's Sia. The album is 1,000 Forms of Fear.
All she does is write hit music for Katy Perry, Beyonce.
Rihanna. That's my artist.
Adam Levine.
Lots of people.
She's a hit maker.
She's a hit maker, and now she's got an album of her own songs and written just for her.
She's awfully bashful. She does not like pictures taken. She doesn't like to perform live. So if you do see her, like Seth Meyers, for instance, she just performed recently, she will be not showing her face. She'll do weird representations and, you know, sing behind curtains or sing into bunk beds. Yeah, she's weird that way.
Movies. We've got movies. July 11th, and So It Goes.
We could have seen this movie
the
a number of times.
Michael Keaton, and not Michael Keaton, Michael Douglas and Diane Keaton.
Keaton.
I just don't get any vibe from this movie at all. You also have The Fluffy Movie. This is comedian Fluffy with his own movie.
I know nothing about Fluffy.
He's a larger Latino gentleman, I believe. Pretty benign family comedy.
Gotcha.
I guess people like him. DVD and Blu-ray, July 8th, you've got Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, Roar of the Dinobots. What is this?
It's just a Dinobot release, or a Dinobot-focused release, you know, piggybacking. I used it correctly this time.
Cartoons?
Yes.
Okay.
On the Transformers Age of Extinction movie.
We also have Bad Words, a film you and I saw back in February. We didn't like it as much as some of the other critics.
Critics seem to really like it.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't get it.
I still stand by our review. And The Raid 2. I think this is a Korean film, isn't
it? Yeah, which got pretty good reviews, actually.
Yeah, it seems exciting. Video games. Boy, the hits keep coming here. Week of July 6th, we've got One Piece Unlimited World Red for 3DS, PS Vita, Wii U, and the PS3.
It's a weird...
What is this? Explain to me.
It's a game.
All right.
Nobody buys games in the summer, I guess, Jared. They're all catching up.
Well, this one is for your handheld systems, it looks like. So take it on the road when you're on the beach. Kindle runs out of batteries, fire up the 3DS and play some One Piece on the
I love it. Jared, you would think that's all we have.
It is, isn't it?
Coming soon. But we also have one other bit of unfinished business.
What's that?
This.
I dig what you're throwing down.
Hit it or miss it. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week. Look out!
Looks like it's your turn this time.
And finally, I get to contribute.
Finally.
I'm picking a movie that I didn't actually see the redo version of this film that came out a couple years back. Of course, I'm talking about Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Jared.
Ooh.
It's a sequel to... Is it just Planet of the Apes, or did it have a different name? I don't even remember.
I think, isn't this one called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Dawn of the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, or something like that.
The first one was Rise of the Planet. Now, the one coming out is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I don't even know. But I'm hearing very good things about it. The special effects look Crazy. It stars Andy Serkis.
Serkis is good enough.
And then who is the human lead in this guy? He was in...
Gary Oldman's in it. Bunch of other people.
But it looks it looks impressive. It tells the story of apes.
Kerry Russell's in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tells the story of
Jason Clarke
fighting. That's who I'm thinking of, Jason Clarke. Okay. Apes fighting humans for the fate of the planet of the Earth.
Yeah, this
planet of the Earth.
There's been a plague or whatever, and human civilization is crumbling.
Yes.
And the apes who were released at the end of the previous film have now established their own society. And of course, these two societies are going to clash.
They never get along.
Great
Jared.
Societies always clash.
They never freaking get along. So everybody, check that movie out. I think that it might be I wouldn't say a surprise hit of the summer, but I think it will do very well, and it can't be any worse than Transformers.
Very few things can.
No. Listen to our Transformer review. Jared.
Yeah?
This show that we're getting comments for was the Ron Boogie Monster Gerber show.
Yep.
One of my favorites that we've done in a long, long time.
Yep.
We covered the summer of 1984.
We did.
And it was good.
There were some comments on it, but I'm not going to read them.
Okay.
Because they're not that interesting out of context. So.
You can, by the way, Ron, the same week that we did that we released that show, he did a 1984 show.
He did.
On Crap from the Past.
He had all kinds of stuff that he had dug up and researched that he didn't get to on our show or just, he had extra material, so he did an entire show on it.
So you should go check that out. He talks a lot about how great our show is.
He does.
And he's right. He's smart. He's right. A smart guy.
He recognizes quality.
And I also have to say that Casey Kasem recently died.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron did a fantastic tribute show to Casey Kasem, which covered his entire career. You can find that at the Crap from the Past archives. If you have any interest in that bit of history, I guarantee you, Jared, it was the best retrospective of Casey Kasem in the country.
When did he do this?
A couple weeks ago or last week. So
I listened to it. I finally subscribed to the feed from archive.org.
Okay, I didn't know that you could do that.
You can. It's a little twitchy, but it seems to work.
But yeah, give that a listen. It is very, very thorough and very, very heartfelt. So
he's got a lot of clips of Kasem.
He has everything. So anything you'd ever ask for in terms of that, he's got it. So there you go.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
Just to remind you who
very
he is.
Very nice. So, Jared, if you want to get in contact with The Scope, if you were, say, motivated by this terrific summer TV preview,
yes,
what would you do?
You would email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. You'd call our voicemail line, 612-217-2673. That's 612-21-SCOPE. Did it backwards this time, just to keep you on your toes.
It's very confusing.
You can also connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr. All of those links are on our website at thescopeshow.com. Or, if you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, or subscribe. All those buttons are right below you.
Yep.
Our faces are literally inches away from those buttons where you can take action.
Yes.
To let us know how you support us.
Yep. And we're also...
how we complete you.
We're also working very hard on our updated MySpace page.
Yes.
And that should be up in 4 to 5 years.
Exactly. Hey, if you have a little extra cash sitting around, you can support us via Patreon. Patreon.com/TheScopeShow. Patreon is a service where you can directly financially support content creators. We're content creators, aren't we, Shane?
Some might argue that, but if you're going by strict definition, yes.
Yes. You can contribute as little as $1 an episode, and you can set a monthly cap or cancel anytime, but I don't know why you would want to. I mean, we're just going to continue to put stuff out anyway. But if you want to contribute to us directly and keep the show going, maybe help us invest in equipment and bandwidth costs, do so. Patreon.com/TheScopeShow. Back to you, Shane.
Thank you very much, Jared. So that wraps up our show, episode 180. Jared, thanks for being here.
It's in my basement.
I'm thanking myself as well. Adam won't be here next week, but maybe soon. So until then, see you later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying au revoir. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.